You know, and this is twice this has happened to us after a big emotional game where we come flat the next game. So, you know, it's the time of the year when we can't do that. We've got to be prepared to play. I thought we weren't. You know, we got out battled, out raced, out competed, outworked right from the very opening faceoff, and it took us a long time to start to try to claw our way back into the hockey game. But we were flat tonight, and you know, at this time of year, you can't be.
Sure is tough to quibble with the head coach. There's Jeff Ward after last night's loss in Montreal. Outworked, outcompeted, outplayed. Really was. There was nothing there for the Calgary Flames. Less than 48 hours after a great game against the Oilers, a great performance against Edmonton, Flames were totally flat last night against Montreal. The Habs significantly better for the vast majority of that hockey game. And it's a Habs team, Kleiner, that below 500 entering action last night. They got back to 500 with the win. And that is a game why I can't sit here and tell you the Flames are anything more than a middle-of-the-pack team. That game last night, in a position where there was certainly a chance to show some maturity, a chance to show that it doesn't matter. We can play our game regardless of what the stakes are. Anybody can get up for a huge rivalry game, and lots of teams in this league are able to go out and play well in a game with natural oomph and natural motivation. But it's those games where that doesn't exist that sometimes can be a real test. And that showed me that this team is not an elite group. And if they were an elite group, we would be surprised by what we saw last night. We telegraphed it. I'm not surprised.
We called it yesterday.
I'm not surprised at what we saw yesterday. We talked about how this is the potential for a letdown game. Here's a potential for the Flames to be flat, and they got to guard against that. Well, they did anything but. They didn't guard against that. They were flat. They did exactly what we were afraid of and exactly what we telegraphed. And that's why I still think this group's got a long way to go. And the problem is that, you know, at this point last year heading into the break, I want to say that the final two-thirds of last season, even though the Gaudreau line dropped off after the break last night, the Flames were still a pretty consistent team. They were still winning games on a regular basis, and we knew what to expect from them on any given night. 1 year later, the regular season is a complete and utter roller coaster for this group. And so that was a frustrating game last night because we telegraphed it, and it still happened.
And to me, you lose the opportunity to have those and for us to just like, oh, shake it off, whatever, it's one game, we're overreacting, when you kind of meander your way through a regular season. And now, all of a sudden, you have a team that is battling for a playoff spot, and they are having those types of games. If you want to have those battles and have those games where things aren't necessarily going your way, okay, but don't just whatever the first half of the regular season. And that's the position that the Flames put themselves in with the struggles in the early part of the season. And again, I'm with you. We saw it coming. I kind of thought, well, there's no way. Like, after what happened against the Oilers and then the two games after that, there is no way they're going to let this happen again. And they let it happen again. That was one of their least complete performances of the season after one of their most complete performances of the season against the Oilers on Saturday. And wouldn't you know it, now they're 3 points away from being not in a playoff spot at all. So you kind of, they've lost that cushion for us to just be able to say, ah, it's a bad game. You knew there was going to be a fall off.
They
anyway.
Had that last year, right? Mm-hmm. You could fall back on that last year because last year they were one of the best teams in the NHL in the regular season, and
they were a consistent group,
right?
We just kind of, whatever, that wasn't their best game, but they're still in first, so it's fine. Like, we did it for half a year because they built up a cushion.
Right.
That's not here right now for the Flames. You haven't built up that goodwill for us to say, it's just one game, because it's not. The Edmonton games, that's just one game. Those have been the outlier instead of these underwhelming performances. It's been the complete performances that have been the, oh wow, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And I don't get it, because like I said, we know what this team is capable of. We know when they're at their best what this team can do. The problem is they're not doing it on a night-to-night basis, and they've showed us nothing in the playoffs that makes us think that, oh, they're just going to flip a switch and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
We've never seen that from this group, so it's tough for me to believe that they're going to just all of a sudden find that Edmonton level on a night-in, night-out basis just because, oh, hey, now look at this. Now we're in the playoffs. Because it's kind of gone the other way for this team.
Yeah, it really has, and it's frustrating, and last night was frustrating. I took the calls after the game, and they were frustrated calls. Look! Right? It's not like this is a team that was dominating like Minnesota. And, you know, maybe we don't give credit to some of the teams they were playing, but they were scratching out one-goal wins over New York, Minnesota twice, Chicago, and then they beat the Oilers by a goal, too. And the Oilers game was impressive. And the Oilers game we liked, and we said to ourselves, okay, well, that looked like a really good step forward for this team, and then they take a big step back. And the thing is, I would expect that on Thursday night in Toronto, they'll be right back to being a really good team because there's a game with some oomph. You've got a top team in the Eastern Conference. You've got a lot of offense. You've got a hot building that you're going to be playing in. Like, there is reason to get up for that game, and there's reason to get up for the next two Oilers games. It's these games against the – like, I'm terrified about the Senators game on Saturday with a – 8-day break around the corner and an afternoon game. I'm terrified about that game.
Yeah.
Terrified is the wrong word.
I'm
not that invested in what happens.
You've peed yourself just talking about it.
That's just a physiological issue I have, Clyde. I worry about them in a game like that against Ottawa, where you're playing a bad team, you've got a break around the corner, and you're playing an afternoon game. There's not going to be much emotion in that game at all. Are they going to find a way to be up for a game without a whole lot of emotion? I don't know. So that's why I think there's a lot of people who are frustrated about where this group is right now, because we're more than halfway into the season. We're well into the third quarter of the season, and we still don't know what to expect from the Flames. They have not set a standard for themselves yet.
No.
We know that they're capable of playing well. We also know they're capable of playing really poorly, and they have not set a standard to be accountable to as of yet.
The problem is they kind of have, and we're just expecting the standard from last year to keep being implemented because they keep doing this. As you talked about, they keep having underwhelming game after underwhelming game after underwhelming game, and then they have a good game, and then it's underwhelming again, and we say, well, there's no standard that they've set. They've set their standard. They have absolutely put themselves in, I think, the spot that they should be in, and that standard is a middle-of-the-pack team. The problem is that standard is far from good enough from where this team was last year and where expectations were this year. So there's a standard that's been set. It's just not the one that we want with this club, and it's not one that's going to be acceptable, I would say, beyond this season.
Here's a good text in 960-960. So somebody points out, they should all have millions of reasons to get up for the games. And that's fair. I know that the... Anytime that you say, well, they weren't ready for a game or they didn't come out ready to play or whatever the case may be, people scream at the radios and say, these guys make millions of dollars. How can you not be ready to play? It absolutely infuriates people when you talk about a team not being ready in the NHL. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes it happens, whether they're millionaires or not. Sometimes mentally, as a group, key players aren't where they need to be or don't have the emotional investment they need to have to start a hockey game. So I know it infuriates people, but it happens sometimes, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, and, I mean, these are still human beings. You don't become a millionaire and then all of a sudden there's a chip that turns you into a robot. There's going to be ebbs and flows through an NHL season. But you look at just last night in the NHL, St. Louis beats Anaheim 4-1. There is no St. Louis-Anaheim rivalry, as far as I'm concerned. I don't believe that there is a storied history in this that goes back several generations.
Oh, there is.
There's a brewing hatred between the Ducks and the St. Louis Blues, but the Blues still go out there and get the job done against a team that's less than them. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what, hey, look at that, a championship team does. Just go out, get the job done. It doesn't matter if there is any kind of letdown. It doesn't matter that it's a non-divisional opponent on a Monday night. just go out and get the job done. And that's what the St. Louis Blues did, and that's what, time and time again, the Calgary Flames have not done this season. And it's, again, it's becoming the norm rather than, well, can't figure this team out. I think we have figured this team out, and we aren't liking the answer because it's a far cry from where we thought this team was going to be at the start of the season.
A few other texts at 960-960. It happens all the time with this team. This reads, the Flames can easily handle the best team in the league or have their show run by the worst team in the league, and neither thing surprises me. That makes you what they are, an inconsistent team scuffling to make the playoffs. They're not good enough to only get up for rivalries and good opponents. If you're a serious contender, you should be taking 7 out of every 10 points against non-playoff teams. And this team doesn't do that. That's a fair point. And again, I think the middle of the pack, the middle of the NHL, is larger than it ever has been. How many teams can you point to and say, yep, that's an elite group? I think that you point to Washington, Boston, St. Louis. Who am I missing in there? Tampa Bay, I think, is now in that conversation.
Yeah, Colorado.
I don't know. Are they? I mean, Colorado struggled of late, and they're way back.
Okay,
they're way back. You talk to people there. Their efforts are all up, all over the place, and
okay,
up and down.
I do think that there is a difference between struggling as of late and doing what the Flames have done, which is, hey, look, they've played well as of late. Like, there's a difference between just, well, there are some struggles. Perhaps there is a bit of an inconsistency with the Colorado Avalanche. Also, and this is a point we can maybe get to a little bit later on, I think we kind of have to start putting Pittsburgh into this conversation.
I was about to say,
again,
Pittsburgh's got to be there. Because
they're
without,
second in their division, and
without
now they're getting Crosby,
they're sitting as a, what, a top, well, where are they?
They're second in their division.
They're number four overall in the NHL. Not just second in their division, they're number four in the league. They've done that all year with all kinds of injuries. Like, again, they're getting Crosby back tonight against the Wild.
Yeah.
But they've done it without Crosby and Bukestad and Schultz, and Malkin was out for a while. Like, Dumoulin's out. Gensel's now out. Like, this team is bonkers.
And their starting goalie, who they thought was the answer for the franchise, played like 3 times in December because it's been Tristan Jarry stealing the show. Like, nothing's gone to plan in Pittsburgh, and they just keep trucking along.
Welcome to Pinder and Steinberg, as we are live once again from Opa of Greece. Today we are at the Airdrie Crossing location, the brand new Airdrie Crossing location. So if you are unfamiliar with Airdrie, Airdrie Crossing is at the north end of Airdrie. It's on Veterans Boulevard. It's a brand new complex. They've got all kinds of big box stores in here. There's a superstore, and Opa Airdrie is brand new and open here at Airdrie Crossing. What are we here for? Well, we are here for the citywide 50-50 with Kidsport Calgary. We have got our Kidsport friends here, and if you would like to come on down and purchase a $5 ticket, you can do so today, and we are trying to raise as much money as possible for the 25th anniversary rather of Kidsport in this city. So come on down. Opa Airdrie Crossing, get yourself a $5 ticket, get entered into the grand prize draw. You could win yourself up to $50,000 when it's all said and done. The location here, 300 Veterans Boulevard, Northeast Airdrie. Once again, 300 Veterans Boulevard, Northeast Airdrie. We're here until 6 o'clock. Come visit us here at Opa with Kidsport Calgary.
Also, I've been told if you stop by this location today that we're at, if you get a ticket for the 50-50 draw, you'll get a $5 OPA gift card as well.
Ooh.
So, yeah, bonuses.
Did you have eaten lunch yet?
I have. Yeah, I got here early so I could have calamari and Caesar salad.
The calamari and Caesar, it's a classic. I will be going. My go-to is the low-carb salad with 2 chicken skewers.
Okay.
Take the croutons out, and it's perfect. If you ever go back to keto,
mm-hmm. Which
it's
I will.
Perfect.
I will. And yes, yeah, the low carb combo here is
The only quote unquote fast food options you can do keto with is Opus. So you get the low carb Caesar, which is good. If you take the croutons out, it's great for
perfect.
Keto.
Yeah.
Or the low carb Greek salad. It's got tons of olive oil in it. Again, good for keto if you're interested in these types
again,
of things.
Better if you put feta in it, but I mean
you can. Feta's good for it too. I don't. Feta's never been my jam, but lots of people love it and they have it and it tastes great for those who love it. So get yourself to Opa Airdrie Crossing. Get yourself a 50-50 ticket with Kidsport and get yourself a $5 gift card to Opa as well. We're here until 6 o'clock. Other notes from last night that I wouldn't want to miss. I thought that was an important statement for David Rittich yesterday. He was by far the best player on the ice for the Flames. And knowing how well Talbot has played of late and knowing that I believe Talbot has turned this into a real conversation about who the guy is, the fact that Riddick went out, made a statement, and played a really solid game last night, I think that was really important. He was, what, Calgary's only strong, consistent player last night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so last night's game was kind of a microcosm for a lot of the first half of the season, where, once again, David Riddick was their best player, and there wasn't a whole lot else going on for the Flames. That game could have been out of hand early. The Habs had 9 of the first 10 shots of the game. It was, I think, 16-2 the shots at one point, and then the Flames kind of buffed up the shot count late with a few shots from distance. But Riddick was tested. He stood tall on a few power play opportunities Montreal had. He was everything you wanted. And while the conversation has been a lot of Cam Talbot lately, David Riddick with kind of a reminder, like, hey, just so you know,
I'm here too.
I'm still here.
Don't forget about me.
Yeah, don't be forgetting about this guy, because I'm still goalie of the future, at least, looking forward.
That was the sixth time this season this group has been shut out. Wrap your head around that. One of the NHL's highest scoring teams in the league last year. This year, they've been shut out 6 times. Nobody has been shut out 6 times in the league other than Calgary. They lead the league in the amount of times they've been blank this season.
Well, that's disappointing to hear, and not necessarily a stat that you want to be hearing about a team that is making a push for a playoff spot, but not overly surprising when you watch how the season has gone either. So, no, just a lot of disappointing nights offensively for this group, and they've tried a few different things. They tried a few different things last night. We saw the switch back to old reliable with Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm, and whatever version of a 3M line that you can put together with no Michael Frolik there, as Andrew Mangiapane getting in on it instead. I hope those lines don't continue, because I think they have found something with the new lines. But again, I keep coming back to how disappointing an effort that was last night from the Calgary Flames against the Montreal team that has been struggling. You look at that Montreal blue line, they shouldn't be giving you that many problems. Carey Price is awesome, but you didn't make him prove that last night.
Yeah, Carey Price, that was one of his easier shutouts.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine that he went home and had to rest up that much. He was good. Give him credit. He shut the door in the third period. He was good in the third period, but I did not feel like he was really tested for a vast majority of that hockey game.
Yeah, I don't think they're coming away from that game and saying, boy, you know, like, we only have one day off between games. We need to set Carey Price here. That was management overload.
We can go a little more in depth into this on the round table in a couple of hours, but I think it's time to, like, I feel like what we've seen, they've been winning a lot of one goal games with not a lot of offense. I feel like they could really use a little bit of a shot in the arm. Austin Zarnik, is it time to bring Zarnik back into the conversation? I'm starting to lean towards that. He's having himself a nice little stint in the American League with AHL Stockton. Right now he's got 15 points in 12 games down there. He's played 12 games. You know, I know that he's got the high ankle sprain, and those can be hard to come back from, but he's got a nice chunk of games under his belt now. I wonder if it's not time to bring Zarnik back into the fold. It's easy to do, and maybe you don't do it before the break. Maybe you give him that little bit of extra time playing and have him go a few more games while the Flames are on their break and bring him back up after the break. But you've got Yellison that you can send down easily.
Yeah.
You've got cap room. You can bring Zarnik in very easily if you need to. You can put somebody else on waivers if you feel the need to maybe give yourself a little bit more cap room and a little bit more that you're going to be accruing each day. But, yeah, I think it's time to bring in Zarnik, because I think that he has the ability to give a bit of, it's not a huge, but a bit of a shot in the arm to this number 2 power play unit and to this offense as a whole.
Because we've started to see Dubé gets a goal the other night, but overall, the bottom six, I think, has kind of slowed a little bit, specifically that fourth line. I think they could use a bit of a shot. I think Tobias Rieder at center probably isn't the answer long-term with that line. Zach Rinaldo is great at being Zach Rinaldo, but when you start to need a bit more offense, there isn't a whole lot there. So, no, I agree. Having Zarnik that you could at least cycle in on that group would be a vast improvement, I think.
Your thought on the Zach Cassian 2-game suspension?
The more you think about it, the more it makes sense. I kind of talked it out with Elliot Friedman on the show yesterday, and Lucic got 2 games for punching a guy in the face who wasn't expecting to get punched in the face when he probably should have been expecting to get punched in the face. And that's a lot of what this situation was. Zach Kassian was a bit rougher about it.
There were more punches, but there were less clean punches square to the mush.
Yeah, now, not for lack of trying, but it seems to make sense to me. I have no problem with it. If they would have gave him none, I wouldn't have been too up in arms. If they would have given him five, it would have been, okay, that's probably a bit much, but I see what you're coming from. So
I
don't have much of a problem.
I just love that he's in for the rematch on Jan 29. Yeah. That's the best part of it.
Give him a 2-week break instead of a 1-week break.
I think that it sends a message, and I feel like it sends less of a message to Kassian and more of a message to, okay, you know, this is a game with physicality, and this is a game sometimes about, I'm trying to think of the right word, but self-policing or something along those lines.
Right. Vigilante justice.
Well, but not to that
Zach
point.
That's why
I don't want to say retribution, because it's not quite that, but it's a man's game as opposed to a boy's game. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're going to man up. And again, that is man.
Runt.
It's like from a boy to a man, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to go stick up for myself. And it's about sticking up for my teammates.
Yeah.
But there's a line. And I think that sends a message that, okay, the line was crossed on Saturday, but I don't think they needed to go too harsh on it. And
do you think he gets anything if he doesn't pick him back up and start throwing again? Like, if it's just like a couple shots, Tkachuk goes down, it's like, okay, fine, you're not doing this, I'm not doing this. I don't think he gets anything.
Probably not.
I think it's the little bit of a rodeo they played after that that gets Kassian a bit of that. So
I'm just glad he's in for the rematch.
Yes.
Because it gives us a little bit more oomph for that rematch on January 29th.